Thanks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Mastermind, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 5th of June. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom tonight. A man who murdered two teenagers on the Isle of Man in 2002 has been denied parole. The woman at the centre of a case that led to an Onchan commissioner's resignation has spoken publicly for the first time, and the Red Arrows are set to take to the skies. Get in touch if you want to comment on anything you hear this evening. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's join Siobhan Fletcher for the latest headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan.
Fastamai. Manx Radio understands a man who murdered two teenagers on the Isle of Man has been denied parole. Peter Newbury killed 16-year-olds Samantha Barton and George Green in 2002 and was jailed for life 2 years later with a minimum term of 20 years. Reacting to the news, George's sister Shirley Cleave told Manx Radio the family are really, really happy.
For us, it's a huge relief knowing that, you know, he's still inside for as long as he denies to talk about what he done, why he done it. You know, he's in a prison, he's secure. We're not likely to come across him in Strand Street. So for us, it's really, 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 really good news.
Manx Radio has approached the Department of Justice and Home Affairs for a statement. Police have confirmed the mountain road is closed from the bungalow to the Cregna Bar. It's as officers deal with two separate road traffic collisions involving motorcyclists at Brandywell. A former Onchan commissioner's resignation has prompted scrutiny of the rules that govern who can stand for public office. Don Hamilton stepped down on Monday after his former landlord shared court documents showing he owed nearly £13,000 in unpaid rent. And the Red Arrows will be performing over Douglas Bay tonight for the team's annual return to the Isle of Man TT. This evening's display is set to get underway from 7:30 p.m. Further afield, a 15-year-old boy has been jailed for at least 7 years for killing 80-year-old Bim Coley in Leicestershire last September. A girl aged 13 has been given a 3-year youth rehabilitation order. Both were convicted of manslaughter after the attack on the grandfather as he walked his dog in Franklin Park late last year. 500,000 more children will be eligible for free school meals in England from September next year. And Beyoncé's back in Britain. The singer kicks off the UK leg of her Cowboy Carter tour tonight in London. There are your headlines. I'll have your news at 6.
Good morning. Thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a quick look at the weather this evening, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Largely dry and bright this evening, but tending to be fairly cloudy. Only a small risk of an isolated shower with a light to moderate west or northwest wind. Cloudy overnight with the risk of developing showers, which will then clear away by the end of the night. Minimum temperatures of around 9 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, fortunate news, it's going to be dry with sunny spells, then turning cloudy in the evening. Small risk of an isolated shower, mainly moderate southwest wind, and a top temperature again of 15 degrees Celsius.
Feel the fun at the TT races with Tesco. Visit your local store to top up your tank with snacks and refreshments for race day. Tesco, every little helps.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshore Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tramode Estate, view filshorevehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagode Cassery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past five on the 5th of June. Now, Manx Radio understands a man who murdered two teenagers on the Isle of Man has been denied parole. Peter Newbury killed 16-year-olds Samantha Barton and George Green in 2002 and was jailed for life 2 years later with a minimum term of 20 years. It's the second time the killer has applied for parole following an unsuccessful attempt in 2023. Earlier this year, fearing his release, the victim's families renewed a campaign to keep him behind bars. Reacting to today's news, George's sister Shirley Cleave told Siobhan Fletcher, the family are really, really happy.
For us, it's a huge relief knowing that, you know, he's still inside for as long as he denies to talk about what he done, why he done it. And he's in a prison. He's secure. We're not likely to come across him in Strand Street. So for us, it's really, 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 really good news.
Back in February, when we last spoke to you, you obviously were calling for him not to be released. That's now, you know, gone in your favour. But what next?
Well, next for us, I mean, we'll go through this process now every 12 months. So every 12 months, for as long as he is where he is, he is entitled to apply for parole. So we just start the process again now to ask again whether or not he wants to meet with the family, you know, because we've done that and he's denied to meet with us. He hasn't denied, he's refused to meet with us as a family to explain why, you know, he took our brother's life, George and Sam's life. So we want these answers, you know, we want to know why, you know, because we can't get over the fact that they've gone until he talks to us. So for us, we don't feel that he's getting the right support for rehabilitation and reform. We believe that if he was sent back to a UK prison, you know, the UK high security prisons, they've got the correct structure and intervention techniques in place to deal with offenders such as murderers. So they may be able to get into, open up just to, you know, why he done his crimes, you know, why he did what he did, which would move him, you know, into a better place mentally for himself, and then maybe one day he would be released.
Shirley Cleave speaking to Siobhan Fletcher there. Now, Manx Radio has approached the Department of Home Affairs for a statement. You can hear more from Shirley over at manxradio.com. Now, earlier this week, Onchan Commissioner John Hamilton resigned from his position just days after a Facebook post by local resident Camille Kataya went viral. In it, she described her experience as a landlord, claiming Mr. Hamilton left her property damaged and owing thousands in rent. Manx Radio has verified the court records, confirming he was ordered to repay nearly £13,000 in 2017, a sum she says remains entirely unpaid. The story has since sparked a wider debate about how candidates are vetted, what's checked and what isn't, when someone stands for public office. Camille agreed to speak with me about her experience and why she chose to come forward.
The first thing that happened was I went into shock. It brought back all the emotions that I faced when I had to deal with him as a tenant back in 2016 and 17. We have a house in Douglas and we put it up for rent. We were delighted when we met Mr. Hamilton because he comes across as a lovely family man with a partner and a child, and he seemed like the perfect tenant. The tenancy started and along with it, all the problems started happening, not paying rent and instructing work to be done that wasn't approved, saying one thing to me and a different thing to my husband.
And there's a long history of him not paying rent or paying rent excessively late, and in some cases only paying almost half of what he owed.
Yes, we sometimes got just little bits of money just so that he could say he's paid something, and he kept coming up with stories, so we kept giving him time, but in the end it got to be a bit too much, so we served him a notice to evict, and we told him, look, if you pay us what you owe us, we'll drop the case. But he was adamant that he wasn't going to pay us, and we took him to court, eventually got him evicted, and that's when it got even worse, where in the end he literally destroyed the house, from taking the cooker with him to pulling off out all the carpets, the underlay, to removing all the light fittings, cutting off electricity cables. It was quite horrific.
And do you think that represents some almost wider considerations when people can run for public office but have an alleged history behind them? What do you think that says to the way that the public office system works?
I think in every case, we should, the people people who are representing us should be honest people. They should be able to stand up knowing they are doing the right thing. But if your beliefs and your ideologies and your understanding is so skewed, you can't be a good representative. So anyone in public office should have due diligence done on them. And at the end of the day, if someone has made a mistake, that can be forgiven if there's atonement. But if they are refusing to acknowledge it, intentionally continuing to cause harm, there's no excuse for that.
If you were in the room with him right now, what would your message be to him?
You should have treated us with respect, and you should treat everyone you work with respect. You have completely and utterly taken advantage of people, including people who couldn't afford it, and that's wrong. You should be held accountable.
Camille Kataya speaking with me about the now former Commissioner John Hamilton that was her tenant. John Hamilton has declined to comment further aside from what he wrote in his resignation statement, in which he said he was leaving to protect the integrity of the authority. Well, his resignation will prompt a fresh by-election, which will be announced in due course. But Onchan aside, five other local authorities across the island are looking for candidates to stand in by-elections. Those are Balaff, Jerby, Port Erin and Ramsey Commissioners South Ward, as well as Douglas Council Central Ward. They all have vacant seats. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more details.
Those five local authorities didn't receive enough candidates in April's election. Douglas Council and Ramsey Commissioners both need one new member, whilst two people are needed on Balaff, Jerby and Port Erin Commissioners respectively. Port Erin initially had one vacant seat. However, Mark Morley resigned from the board at its AGM in May after 9 years in the position. Douglas Council's Central Ward, which is currently represented by Mark Wheeler and Natalie Barrentier, was the only constituency in the city to need a by-election. Whilst in Ramsey, the South Ward only received five nominations for the 6 seats which are available. The commissioners are in the process of merging the two wards, but this will not be enforced until the next set of elections. Nominations open at 10 a.m. on the 11th of June, and those wanting to stand will need to submit their papers by the 18th of June. Prospective candidates must also be on the electoral register and cannot be serving a custodial sentence or be bankrupt. Application forms can be collected from those five local authorities from today. If there are more candidates than the number of available seats in any of the constituencies, then a polling day will be held on the 17th of July.
13 minutes past five now, and Public Health says its sexual health campaign for TT costs less than £2,000, which, if that were to prevent just one unplanned pregnancy, would break even in terms of cost to the health service. Figures show that in June last year, attendances at the Island Sexual Health Centre rose by more than 200% compared with the previous month. Ross Keat is the Deputy Director of Public Health.
What we noticed is over the last TT and TTs before that, there was a very large increase in people who were attending the Manx Integrated Sexual Health Service. So the number of appointments in June specifically grew by over 200% compared to the May. And also there was an 80% increase in diagnoses. And we've sort of seen that year on year. So it does seem that there is an event at the end of May that might contribute to those statistics. Not only are the risks of sexually transmitted infections, but also unplanned pregnancies are very costly to the healthcare service. So, you know, there's a number of reasons to look after yourself. Sexually transmitted infections, not very pleasant. Unplanned pregnancies, also not very pleasant. So two unwanted surprises there. The key messages here are that you can stay safe and protect yourself if you are engaging in sexual intercourse by wearing a condom, and if you're having unprotected sex or changing sexual partners, going getting tested for STIs. People have this view of what it might involve, but a lot of it now you go down and it's actually sort of self-swabbing, self-testing, extremely confidential, small, tight team down there. Yeah, it's a very easy to access service and it's exceptionally confidential.
People just seem to think these things are costing an awful lot of money to you guys out there, but actually this was a reasonably cheap campaign, wasn't
it? The whole cost from start to finish, including free condoms, beer mats, advertising on the screens, the space in the Bushes Village, it was less than £2,000, which I think shows really good value for money. And you've got to think that if that prevents one unplanned pregnancy, then we're basically cost neutral in terms of time service and cost to the healthcare service.
That's Dr. Ross Keat, the Deputy Director of Public Health, speaking to Christy there.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Travel up next, but before that, a 95-year-old UK resident has had his dream of experiencing what it would be like to go around the TT course on a high-speed motorbike come true. Ron Allen and his wife used to regularly attend the fortnight from 1956 through to 1981. Back again this year, for the first time in 44 years, Ron has come over to scatter his wife's ashes in one of their favourite spots on the course. All of this was made possible by his friend and neighbour, Sebastian Edge, who knew of Ron's journey and who called his friend, a former MGP winner, to take Ron around. He spoke to Chanel Suku after his experience.
Thoroughly enjoyed it this morning. It was quite an experience to sit on the back of one of those fast BMWs.
Yeah.
I mean, I've ridden around the TT course many, many times, but not at high speeds like these people do. I always thought I'd like to go around on a closed road like the travelling marshals do, you know, and do the racing lines. I've never got that. But this is the second best, really, to get on a racing, almost a racing bike, and see some of the lines they take around the corners.
And what was going through your mind while you were having this experience this morning?
I brought back lots of memories of the parts of the course that I loved, you know. And I went to... Yesterday morning, I went to by taxi to Tronc Early, 13th milestone, and laid my wife's ashes there because we loved that sweep down before you go to Kirkmichael. She'd be there forever.
Got quite a few TT badges around
you. I went from 1956, when I took the advantage of our honeymoon to come to the Isle of Man. That was the first time when John Surtees was king of the pack. I went from 1956 until 1981.
So it's your first time back since
1981, yes.
And has the island changed or...?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, especially the TT facilities that start and finish, the grandstand and everything, the tower and communications. So many things have improved, really professional now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Let's take a look at the roads. The mountain road is closed from the bungalow to the Craig following two separate road traffic collisions. Both are involving motorcycles at Brandywell. That's what police are telling us. So if you are intending to go over the mountain that is closed, you will need to find another way around. Also happening tonight, the Red Arrows are set to be performing over Douglas Bay. That's from 7:30 this evening. And naturally, it will be getting very busy in Douglas later, like it always does, particularly around Douglas Head, the Promenade and Onken Head. So if you're heading out, do give yourself plenty of time to get wherever you want to go. Parking will likely be tough too. In the meantime though, if there's anything you spot on your travels while you're out and about this evening, ping us a text. We'll give it a mention. Text WhatsApp to 166177. Email studio@manxradio.com. Over at the steam packet, the 3:15 Mananan got away around about 15 minutes ago, I believe, delayed from earlier. That does mean the return is also delayed by around 2 hours, leaving Liverpool at 9:15 back in Douglas a little past midnight. And also over at the airport, down at the Ronaldsway Airport, nothing I'm seeing there on the departures or the arrivals board.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
The RAF Red Arrows display team mark their TT return for 2025 on Thursday the 5th of June from 7:30 p.m. in Douglas. Watch the display from Douglas Prom, Douglas or Onken Head, and hear the commentary live from Red 10 Squadron Leader Graham Muscat only on Manx Radio FM, AM and DAB from 7:25. Manx Radio's live commentary with the Red Arrows from Villa Marina Balcony in Douglas right here this evening from 7:25.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, if you are out and about today, you will have noticed all the roads were open because today was called a rest day for the TT. So the atmosphere is obviously a lot calmer than it was. What's come to this weekend? The weather's given us, well, a bit of a mixed bag this year. So we wanted to catch up with some of the fans to get to find out what their experience has been like so far and see if they'd managed to get out and see more of the island too. Chanel Suku's been speaking to people at the grandstand.
I've been to the Isle of Man many times before and it seems to get more beautiful the more often you come. Yeah, it's been fantastic.
In terms of seeing the other parts of the island, I know we've had lots of racing days or lots of practice days happening. Have you been able to go out to other parts of the island?
I have, yes. I've been fortunate enough. I've been staying out west. I've been to Ballacrane, Cronkivoddy, and yeah, I've tried to get in as much of the island as possible because, as I say, breathtaking scenery, stunning views all round, and when you've got the bikes in the mix as well, it just makes it absolutely sensational.
So how many years are you coming over for?
45, 6, something like that.
Do you think of the racing schedule?
Go back to how it was for 100-odd years. every other day, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Don't try cramming too much in. It's nice and it's, when it's sunny, we can fit another couple of races in. But there's too much now for when you get weather like this, and over here you do get years like this.
Did you do Peel Day or Port Erin Day this week?
Peel Day.
You did? How was it?
Shut when we got there at 5 o'clock.
We love it. I mean, there's nothing like it. We've actually brought an American friend with us this time, and it's his first ever one, and we haven't been able to get the smile off his face from the moment he got here.
I mean, we all love the place and everything and love the racing, obviously, but we're just a little bit frustrated at the amount of time we've been sat in a hedge. We've virtually not had a chance to go around the island and sample the other bits of the island because of all the hold-up sort of thing, really. But
I know you mentioned y'all haven't had a chance yet. We had Peel Day the other day. Did you make it to go out?
No, we didn't. We normally do go and we love it, but we didn't get a chance to go this year.
Chanel Suku speaking to people down at the grandstand. Well, like we heard just then, some issues with Peel Day, not open or not able to get there. But the Clerk of Peel Commissioners has confirmed it will undertake a review of this year's Peel Day following a number of complaints on social media which claimed the town was empty and didn't bring people to the traders on Michael Street. Derek Sewell says the town relies on the event to attract visitors to spend in the local shops, hospitality businesses, but admits it's difficult when the racing is on. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking with him.
This isn't the first time that we've had racing on Peel TT Day. Even when it was held on a Sunday, as I say, it was a contingency day. And usually every other year, particularly since 2015, there has been racing even when it was held on a Sunday, which automatically meant if the TT course is closed for vehicular traffic, it makes it very difficult for people to get to Peel. And on that basis, we saw a significant decrease in the number of visitors who attend this event.
There were a number of complaints on social media about Peel Day and how it was very quiet and there weren't many people around the town. Have you had many complaints like that before? And are the commissioners going to address any of those when they go and review it next?
I think it's been on social media, which the board members will pick up on. But ultimately, we haven't had anything particularly directed into us, so we haven't had any information that's come in directly to ourselves, but that may come in over the next few days. So I'm sure it'll be a discussion point. It was a discussion point when it was changed from the Sunday to the Monday when the race schedule changed. On that basis, I'm sure it'll be discussed again.
Local Democracy reporter speaking to the Clerk of Peel Commissioners, Derek Sewell there. Well, we're just hours away from the Red Arrows returning once again to the skies above Douglas Bay, a mainstay of the TT Entertainment schedule. The aerobatic team will be performing from 7:30. The team's commentator, squadron leader Graham Muscat, has been speaking with Chris Pearson.
It's a different crowd at the TT. It's not necessarily an aviation crowd, but we always get a great reception and therefore, you know, we're always happy and extremely pleased and honoured to perform at the Isle of Man TT.
So far this year, TT itself has been a bit of a mixed bag weather-wise. Low cloud or certainly cloudy conditions don't necessarily mean that there won't be a display, though.
No, not at all, no. So wind is not really a problem as such, as long as it doesn't really blow over 40 knots, but yeah, cloud can be a bit of an issue. So we have three types of show. We've got a flat show, a rolling show, and a full show that can be dictated either by the weather or the airspace. Thankfully, Isle of Man gave us free airspace, so that's not a player. So it's mainly the cloud. We generally need about 5,500 to 6,000 feet cloud base for a full show. That's just where the looping maneuvers. A rolling show, which is just where Red One will roll the formation. Then we need about 2,500 to 3,000 feet. But if it's down at 1,000 feet, 1,500 feet, we can do a flat show. That's just a series of reversals. But you still get all the big wing shapes. You still get the second half, just not the looping and rolling manoeuvres. The biggest thing, obviously, is the terrain behind the display area. We have to take that into consideration as well, because that's the how the synchro pair get themselves into position in the second half of the show. That when Red One and Enid on stage, then they come in. So we have to take that into consideration as well. But, you know, 1,500 feet cloud, that's not a problem. If it's raining, it's not a problem. It's just mainly the cloud. We have to be aware of our operating location as well. So obviously we're operating from RAF Valley, so we have to make sure that we can get back into RAF Valley. So we have to take that in consideration as well. So that as long as the weather's good at Isle of Man and at Valley, then we should have a show.
Squadron leader Graham Muscat speaking to Chris Pearson there. You can hear from both of them again later as commentary of the display will be broadcast exclusively on Manx Radio AM, FM, DAB from 7.25, live from the Villa Marina balcony. A little bit of a different person sat in front of me today. Not Rob Pritchard, we've got Lewis Foster. Fastamai.
Just a little bit different, Fastamai, Christian. Yes, well, for starters in sport, as you mentioned before, it has been a rest day in the TT races today, of course, so no new action to bring you from the course. That said, we have had some updates from the riders themselves, including Veronika Hankosiova, the Czech national involved in a crash at Douglas Road Corner earlier this week. That was during the first lap of the Super Twin TT Race 1. She was taken by AirMed to Nobles Hospital, having suffered head, chest and arm injuries. Well, since then, she's posted a photo of herself on Facebook saying she's waiting for her medical flight to her home country, adding she won't give up and will be back to the TT. She's compared her black eye to that of Peter Hickman's after his off on the 30th of May. So get well soon, Veronica, sending our best wishes from Manx Radio. Now, a reminder, tomorrow's schedule currently looks like this. In the TT, at 9 o'clock, Mountain Road will be closed and all roads around the course closed by 10 o'clock. At 10.45, we have the Opel Superstock TT Race 2, and at 1 o'clock, we have the Three Wheeling.media Sidecar TT Race 2, and at 3 o'clock is the Senior Practice Lap, and the entire cover Insurance Super Twin TT Race 2 at 4:15. That's the current schedule, and roads around the course will reopen no later than 9.30 tomorrow. Away from the TT, young people on the island with a passion for sport and leadership are being encouraged to apply for a structured coaching programme delivered by Manx Sport and Recreation. The award offers 24 Year 11 students the chance to gain a hands-on experience, professional qualifications, and the opportunity to interview for paid coaching roles on completion. It's an 8-month programme that begins with a training week at the National Sports Centre on the 14th of July, before participants go on to complete a range of workshops and gain certification in areas including first aid and safeguarding.
Thank you very much, Gurmayad Lewis. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Up next is Island Life, followed by Jason Moore sitting in for Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits. If you're looking for something TT-related to listen to this evening, head on over to Manx Radio's podcast, Siobhan Fletcher in conversation with Jim Hunter, a travelling marshal with more than 40 years' experience competing and marshalling for the TT. Beth is back with you on Monday, so until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.